Track 6. The Bandstand. The open spaces around here were once known as Bonner Fields, a place where heretics were once burned to death by Bishop Bonner in the 16th century. The fields could accommodate large crowds for prayer meetings and political rallies, which continued after the park was established. Like Hyde Park Corner, a great array of speakers and preachers have addressed crowds here over the years. Hilda Slee.
Oh, loads and loads of people. Yeah, because I think there was about, several churches. They just decided that all the churches would meet and have a service all together, which is what it was. There was priests there and talks, quick sermon and singing. I think they came through four different gates so that we all met in the one place at the same time. Somebody must have worked it all out. But that was really nice.
Sometimes meetings were heavily policed. For example, in 1848, the Chartists presented a petition with millions of signatures to the government to give all adult men the vote. A Chartist demonstration here brought out 1,600 constables, 100 mounted police, and 500 police pensioners to police it. Thankfully, the demonstration was brought to an end peacefully by a thunderstorm, and concern that a revolution was about to begin proved to be unfounded. In the 1880s, Socialist League meetings included speeches by George Bernard Shaw, William Morris, and Annie Besant. In 1886, William Morris wrote in a letter to his daughter,
"Eastward Ho to Victoria Park, rather sulky at having to turn out so soon after dinner, though Victoria Park is rather a pretty place with water, dirty though, and lots of trees. Had a good meeting there also. Spoke for nearly an hour altogether in a place made noisy by other meetings. Also a band not far off, whereby I was somewhat hoarse for our evening lecture, which was Shaw's, not mine, and very good."
Later on, there were many suffragette meetings here, campaigning to get the vote for women, and Sylvia Pankhurst was a regular speaker. In 1913, she established a People's Army, trained to protect the suffragettes from the police. There is a photograph of the People's Army, made up of men and women training in Victoria Park with dummy rifles. In the 1930s, Victoria Park was the site of rallies for the British Union of Fascists. In the midst of the Great Depression, poor neighbourhoods with a large Jewish population became recruiting grounds for Oswald Mosley and his black shirts. Dorothy Lloyd.
I remember the black shirts, Mosley's followers, would arrive via Green Street. They'd march and smash the windows up down in, it used to be Green Street, it's called Roman Road now, that end. They'd come along there. Yes, because a lot of Jewish shops, of course, and the bridge was very narrow then. And I think the police came on horseback, fighting would break out and there'd be shouting and jeering, but we'd be standing away a little bit as kids, you know.
In turn, the park also attracted large anti-fascist meetings, supported by many local Jewish and left-wing parties. In 1936, the two sides famously clashed in nearby Cable Street, when hundreds of thousands of demonstrators barricaded and successfully stopped 5,000 fascists marching from the Royal Mint to Victoria Park Square in Bethnal Green. As a direct result of the Cable Street riots, the 1936 Public Order Act was passed, which gave the Home Secretary the power to stop marches in London, banned political uniforms, and the use of threatening or abusive words in public.
Anti-Nazi League. This is the official collection for the...
Following concerns that the National Front were gaining political ground in the area, in 1978, musicians and activists formed an organisation called Rock Against Racism and organised an open-air concert at Victoria Park, which deliberately put black and white musicians on the stage together. Ken Walpole.
I wasn't a great rock music fan at the time, although I was quite politically active. And so, with a few friends, made my way to Victoria Park. And, a mile before we got there, the bus couldn't go any further. And I got off and started walking with a couple of friends towards the park. And I just couldn't believe my eyes. I didn't know where all these young people were coming from. And they were so bizarrely dressed. and I was pretty straight. And I just thought, well, this is fantastic. This is unbelievably fantastic. You know, punk skinheads, black kids with rastas, homemade banners. It was an army of almost of the dispossessed, but they weren't dispossessed because they had a very strong sense of their own identity. Now, I thought it was a phenomenal moment. It was a real moment, you know, a historical moment when something you didn't expect to happen happened.
Teach you how to think, and everyone's doing it.